How do you remember Yugoslavia?
It was beautiful. It was lovely. Very nice people. Big drinks. No toothpaste except in the hotel. And the dinars were no good. Nobody wanted dinars.
Maybe outside Yugoslavia.
In Yugoslavia, yeah. Nobody wanted the money, you know. They wanted dollars and
Dutch money. Hard cash, oh, I see.
No, because like being a foreign, they expected you to pay private strong credits.
No, it wasn't that. No, they didn't want their own money. They wanted... Yugoslavians, all that I spoke to, wanted to get foreign currency.
Oh. Well, that's something else.
Yeah, that's another story and rather longer.
You can't buy foreign currency in Yugoslavia.
Yeah.
There's no free market, you see.
No way.
But they try and get it.
They try to get it off you.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can buy it of you or somebody you know who is in possession of. But you can't go into the bank and change dinars into any other currency. It's against the law.
I know,
yeah.
That's it. And it was very nice. We had a lot of fun. Yugoslavia.
That gig, that gig is even in your bio.
Is it?
Surprise, yeah. I mean, it's written there, like, date and the first opener gig in Yugoslavia.
The most attended and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's nice.
And we hear that you're going back as well.
Maybe, yeah. Well, one day we certainly will.
You got greetings from Tony, you know, the big bloke who's promoter over there. I just saw him yesterday, and he said, please say,
Thank you.
And actually, I've been told that you are doing gigs in February 1985.
Yeah.
There.
That's
Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
new album.
Yes. That's right.
So are you doing on that new album now, apart from other things you're doing?
I've just finished doing three things. Finished mixing the live album and finished two film scores. So now I'll be thinking about the band album, next band. Record, yeah. I'm gonna have a holiday first.
You need it.
Yeah.
It seems you're turning into a workaholic.
Yeah.
What about
need a holiday?
What about the difference between the album, the live album, and the video? Recorded at two different places.
No different.
But I mean, they originate from different places: Paris and Hamburg.
No, there's no Paris.
The album is from the.
It's the same place.
Same night.
Yeah. I've been there myself.
One night. We recorded some of the shows in Paris, but we didn't use any.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't have a good look on the covers, right?
No, it's not written actually, I think. It's not written.
No, because I think people in here said so. So that's
right.
Why I'm asking.
Yeah.
No, it was all one night. It's exactly the same. Exactly. Every buzz.
So it's real, like, it's real live album. You didn't change a lot of things.
We didn't change anything. We didn't change one thing. Nothing.
No, I mean, you are a nearly perfect band live on stage, so obviously you didn't have to change a lot. But
Well, we could have made it better. I mean, but what's better?
This is like the real concert.
Yeah, I once saw a live album being made in a studio by somebody else. And it started with the audience. It had an audience taken from somebody somewhere else. And then they did the bass, then they did the drums, and then they did the guitars and the keyboards, and then the singer sang everything again.
And just clip on the audience reaction.
Yeah, you crossfade through, called cheating.
Just I had a look yesterday through Guinness Book of Hit Albums and Hit Singles. It seems, judging by that, that you are much more album band. For example, making movies up to the end of 1982, spent 108 consecutive weeks on a chart.
It's still in the charts.
Yes, I know. Just checked. All four are in top 200.
No, it's four in the top 100, I'm told.
No, I mean, what is it? Communiqué's 180 something.
It was 102 last week.
And three, sorry. Just see, it's 180, it slipped down. But I mean, it's a fit in any case.
Well, there's four in the, there's four in the 100 at the moment.
Does that success, I mean, does the success has any meaning to you anymore? I mean, does it really make you glad that Private Investigation notched number two or something?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Where were you?
I don't know. I must have been in the studio. I didn't know. I didn't know until I did an interview on TV a few weeks ago.
You didn't know until a few weeks ago?
I didn't know, right. I didn't know until about 4 weeks ago. And then I didn't know about all these albums in the chart until
they told
you. Did tell you.
So what's your motivation? I mean, if you don't, I'm not concerned about your success in that sense. You know, what you're doing commercial-wise.
I think I am concerned about it, really. I mean, it's just that a chart isn't really much of an indication. I mean, a number one record, you can have a number one record in a country for a week and then it shoots down again, whereas our things tend to stay around for a long time. I think it's maybe because people like to live with it, and when their copy wears out, they get another one.
Maybe, I don't know. But do you ever look back on your work, especially talking about the albums? Do you think of them? Do you revalue them?
Not unless somebody insists on. If I'm in a room and somebody insists on playing something,
mm-hmm.
I hear it then.
And you think, oh, we should have done this better or the other way, or?
No, I think for it should just exist for what it is, you know, at the time and the place.
No.
Don't you?
Yeah, it's a document of a moment.
There
of
it was. Your development. I mean, it might have been very different. You see, it could have been very different. But it wasn't, so what?
Mm.
I mean, I'm not saying it has to be that way, you know.
Now that you started producing yourself, as obviously you're writing all the material, is this turning into one man band?
No, I don't think so. I think if you play the piano, you play. Nobody plays the piano like you play. Nobody in the world.
Or on Alan Clark, not me.
If you play one note, but if you play one note, nobody else can play that one note on the piano the same as you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everybody injects himself, you know, into what he does, and also, especially live, people have a chance to develop their parts, so it becomes embellished and becomes refined and characteristic.
Well, what I'm trying to get the bottom of is, how much do you come in, I mean, with the written material, finished material, I mean, how much the song is finished before you present it to a band?
Well, I don't think song is ever finished anyway. I mean, it goes on changing all the time. So it varies, but it varies. It depends on the song. Some things are dictating themselves to you quite a lot, and other things leave themselves open to more. I mean, if you're playing and you find a part, that's really good, and I say, but play, you know, play this at the top of the chord and this at the bottom of the chord. So it's a combination of things, you know, it's a combination of people.
You are very open to suggestions.
Yeah.
And changes.
Yeah.
So you're not a strict producer.
No. I don't think so. I mean, I can be hard on musicians, but I think I'm pretty easygoing about that. Because you want the person who's playing to feel natural with what they're doing. You can't, shouldn't really tie down a musician to an exact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he would feel less of a musician himself.
Yeah.
How about working with other people when you're producing something where you don't play? I mean, or you play very little, but it's not your material, like, I don't know, Dylan, for example.
Again, that varies very much with the mood of the day or mood of the time or the song that you're doing. The demands, production is a very nebulous term, you know. It doesn't really mean anything. I mean, it depends so much on what you're doing. I mean, some people don't need any production, other people...
Yeah, right, need a lot of it.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of pop business going on where it's obvious that it's just a business venture, just like going into anything, producing anything, and the businessmen go in the studio and record company people, and they tell people what they... tell the singers what they want, and, I mean, I'm not a part of that. I'm not interested in that at all.
Junior Etit, I don't know how much are you willing to talk about it. I mean, you didn't finish work on Dylan's album, did you?
No, I recorded it. I didn't mix it.
No, because of other commitments to the instruments.
Yes, yeah, I had to go on tour.
I mean, I remember John telling me, actually, that you had to stop working.
I finished recording,
mm-hmm.
and he mixed it. He got another engineer. My engineer split as well, and he got another engineer. And he went ahead and mixed it. He also re-sang some things, and he did some more overdubs.
Who are you going to produce now? I mean, we heard that you offered that's the camera or somebody like that.
Yeah.
And are you going to do it?
Mm. I do that in May.
What made you doing that?
May. Because I can.
You have time, you mean?
No, I mean, why them?
Well, why not? Nah.
No, honestly, doing what you are now, well, I guess that you're getting a lot of offers. That's the reason why I'm asking.
Oh, I see. Well, I got offers to do things that I'm sometimes not very interested in, and other times I get asked to do like a single.
Which you're not very keen on.
And I don't want to do, I don't want to produce people's singles. I think a single's not enough, you know, to first of all, you can't get the enjoyment. It tends to be concentrating around one song. You know, and it's just one song, and so what? You know, for a single, I suppose. And I like pop singles, I love pop singles, I buy lots of pop singles.
But you don't like making it.
But no, I am, it seems too much like a calculated attempt to have a hit record. You know, whereas an album is much more of a character statement, it shows more sides to it. You can go into get into depth. You can start producing an album which has a feel of its own as an album, and it's a much different thing. It's an artistic statement. You know, it's what a single is. I'm really not that interested in doing a single.
Even when you issue a single, I mean, with Dire Straits, it's rather, you know, unusual affair, like Private Investigations. I mean, who's how many singles of 6 minutes?
Yeah, that is my idea.
Yeah, I know, John told me. I said, so why not? I mean, it's just a number two. You don't even know about it. Good God. It seems that more and more you're interested in film scores. Why is it? Especially that I know that you weren't very pleased with Local Hero. Neither David Putnam, who said, and I remember he scored very well, that Bill Forsyth didn't know to use music very well. He thought of more music being used like in Chariots of Fire, but Bill Forsyth didn't really see it that way.
Mm. Well, I'm doing Bill's
next
film right now.
Comfort and Joy, right?
Yes, Comfort and Joy. He's a great guy, Bill, really.
But how is it good for a musician?
Well, I think perhaps he's more open to music now. The thing about Comfort and Joy is it was actually, I shouldn't say it, but it was inspired by Love Over Gold, which I played that, which Bill told me a few weeks ago.
What, the number itself or the whole album?
The album.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it's rather filmic, something like Telegraph Road or something. Really, I mean, it's an epic conception.
Yeah, so he's used about three songs from the album in bits. Mm-hmm. And I've just done some more. I did some more stuff with saxophone to finish off the film. I think maybe he just opened himself out more to music, and also he's maybe become more at home with making films, just like we all become more at home with doing interviews or mm-hmm. more at home making records. I think with Local Hero, Bill felt a little bit out of his depth with the size of it and everything, and he's gone back now, he's gone a bit smaller again.
Yeah, because he wrote the screenplay and everything, didn't he? For the Local Hero.
He has for all his films. Mm. As for Comfort and Joy, Gregory's Girl, everything, he does the screenplay.
So what about Call? That's another Putnam film, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's directing that one?
That's Pat O'Connor directed that. Mm. So, another good friend of mine. So, he's quite a well-known director now, very successful. And that's a great film too. So that was very demanding. It was difficult to do that because of all the number of cues. I really enjoyed it, but it was very exacting. It'll be a good album. The film is very finely tuned, you know.
Very well done. Sick,
well, it is. It's tough. And I had to make a lot of music for that.
Do you ever, cheat and use old Dire Straits music for such films? If you're, not asked.
No.
No, you go and write everything new.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is it easy to write just the music without the words, actually? The lyrics. Especially that it's a set format and you need to support a scene and everything.
Yes, I think it's probably easier for, in some ways it's easier, but it's still difficult because the choices are so great all the time, and the slightest thing that's out of line with what's going on can destroy everything, mm-hmm. and it might be a very small thing.
But as well
thing.
Can boost the emotion that is projected or film or whatever.
That's right. So it's very enjoyable when it sinks up, you know.
Mm-hmm. When but you've got to be a master
create.
For it, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think that many people can do it, actually.
Well, I don't know how good I am at doing it. I don't think very good. I think I'll have a break from
They
wouldn't
ask you to go back to films if you weren't good.
Well, I don't know whether they're going to ask me again after this. So
outside
I think maybe I'll have a rest from films for a while.
Outside of those two new films, any other in the pipeline?
No, I think I should have a break.
From a film score?
Yeah, it's really tough. you get to miss playing in the band and things.
Maybe go and do a Dire Straits album. I think a lot of people have been waiting for.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in 1982, isn't it?
Is
it seems that every 2 years. Well.
Yeah.
You have an album out every 2 years. Have you got any material? Or possible material you think of?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember John telling me that you're kind of person like Dylan writes all the time, you know, never stops.
Well, I don't. I'm not like that really. I don't think I'm actually very prolific as far as songs. If I wrote more songs, we'd make more albums.
And more money, yeah. That was almost a Freudian slip. Can I ask you about some sessions?
Yeah.
It seems that you're very open to go and jam, to use a very old expression. Like Van Morrison. I'll ask you only, I'm really interested in it, personally.
Brian Ferry tomorrow as well. I'm going to be doing some stuff with Brian Ferry.
Oh, his solo album, I presume.
Yes.
Because there is no Roxy music. I mean, officially.
There's no Roxy music.
Officially, there is, it's not, split, but there is. Oh, yeah? Tell me about Van Morrison, because that guy is he's amazing and very...
It's thrilling to... If you're in the studio and somebody can sing like Van Morrison singing right beside you, and you put your phones on and you're playing, it's a thrill.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I mean, I only listen to the records and I melt.
Yeah.
I'm
fantastic singer. Yeah. Not very strong on the music side, I don't think. The actual music.
Yes, I know which one.
Like Dylan's not. Mm. But
when you have such a voice, what do you
But this, yeah, I mean, singing is out of sight. Probably one of the world's greatest singers, you know.
I might argue, what about Scott Walker?
Scott Walker, again, the same thing. We did that in the control room.
What? Didn't even go into the studio?
No, I put an amp up in the studio and I sat in the control room and played two guitars. And Scott sat with a microphone next to me in the control room. And just sounded fantastic, you know. So he wasn't going to keep it, and I said he must keep that. And they just kept it just the way it was.
No, I don't know. I mean, that guy is really, I mean, one of my heroes, my personal heroes.
Oh, that. That's great. Yeah.
We were supposed to meet him tomorrow. You know, looking really forward to it.
We had a very nice day, just doing a nice afternoon, you know. Enjoyed it very much. I like to hear that.
How did you meet
him? It's actually my favorite song on the album.
How did you meet him? Through Ed or?
Yeah. He's the same manager.
Yeah. Ed's an old hero, you know, to Ed, so.
So you had to snatch it when he decided to come out of hibernation.
I think it's a very interesting record.
It is. I mean, I've listened to it for about 2 months. I snatched the tape off Virgin, you know. I was going bananas. Tell me about you working on your brother's David album. I mean, it's obvious not why, but what did you do on it? You just
played a little bit of guitar, that's all. It's like John did, and you know. I don't know how good it is as a record. I think his next one would probably be much better.
But it did take quite a long time to come out of it.
Yeah, but I think he agonized over it maybe a bit too much. It's got that feeling of being worked on a lot, you know. It has its good moments, good. I mean, I'm very glad that he did it. Full marks to him. It's a lot harder, I think, than people assume. I mean, simply because it has to give the impression of ease. It's an illusion.